بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. This is an article on the subject of knowledge by a renowned scholar of our times, an imam in da'wah, and an imam in tawheed, calling to the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a faqih and a muhaddith whom everyone knew, loved, whom everyone knew benefited from, in his simplicity, in his humbleness, in his manners, in his deep understanding of the deen, in his care for the ummah. These are only words that even cannot give the right dutiful to this scholar of Islam, who spent most of his life in learning and in da'wah and in teaching day and night, very few hours of sleep. This imam is Shaykh Abdul Aziz bin Baz, may Allah's mercy be upon him. He said in this treatise, "All praise and thanks are due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, and the good end is for the pious. Prayers and peace be upon his slave and messenger, the best of his creation, the faithful to his revelation, our messenger and leader, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, the son of Abdullah, upon his family, his companions, and whoever follows his way until the day of judgment. Amma ba'd," to proceed then. "Indeed, the virtues and merits of knowledge," knowledge means ilm in Arabic, "are well known to everyone. It is the most noble thing that one can ask for, and the best thing a seeker can strive to attain. Knowledge consists of many branches, but according to the people of knowledge, the scholars of Islam, what is meant by knowledge in the absolute sense is the Islamic knowledge, al-ilm al-shar'i. This is the intended meaning of knowledge in the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the absolute sense, it is knowledge regarding Allah, His names and attributes, knowledge of His rights over His creation, and what He, Allah, the One free of all defects, the Most High, has prescribed for them. It is the detailed knowledge of the path that leads to Allah, knowledge of the purpose of our creation, and the end which the slave will result in, meaning in the hereafter. This Islamic knowledge is the best of sciences worth acquiring, because through it Allah is recognized and acknowledged, and by it He is worshipped. One who possesses this knowledge knows what Allah has made lawful for him, and what He has prohibited him from, what pleases him and what evokes his anger. With this knowledge, a person knows his result with Allah and his end. From amongst the people, those who have taken upon themselves to observe the precepts of the religion will result in paradise and bliss, and the rest, which are the majority, will result in a place of disgrace, humiliation and misery. The people of knowledge have cautioned us about this and explained that knowledge is confined to this meaning. Amongst the scholars who indicated this is Al-Qadi ibn Abil Izz, who is a commentator on the famous creed in Islam, which is called Al-Aqidah Tahawiyyah, the Tahawiyyah creed, at the beginning of his commentary. This scholar died in the year 792 after Hijrah. Others have also referred to it, such as Ibn al-Qayyim and Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah and a number of others. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah is one of the greatest scholars of Islam, well known for his vast knowledge and piety. He authored many books on a variety of subjects, and he died in the year 728 after Hijrah. And Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah was one of his students, a scholar in his own right, who has written many useful books. He himself died in the year 751 after Hijrah. So it is very clear that the merits and virtues of knowledge vary depending on the extent of one's adherence to it. The greatest and most excellent knowledge is that which pertains to Allah, His names and His attributes. And this knowledge is known as Al-Aqidah, the creed, the belief. Indeed, to Allah the Exalted and Supreme belongs the best example, which is the highest description in every aspect of His essence, names, attributes, and actions. Following this is that which is related to Allah's right over His creation, meaning following the most important thing, which is knowing Allah by His names, His attributes, and this is the knowledge of the creed. Follows that is that which is related to Allah's right over us, over the creation. What He has prescribed upon them, upon the creation. Following this is what supports and bonds it in understanding, such as knowledge of the principles of Arabic, Islamic terminology, principles of fiqh, jurisprudence, hadith, methodology, and other sciences which are connected to this knowledge, which assist it in both understanding and precision. The biography of the Prophet ﷺ, Islamic history, biography of the narrators of hadith, and the scholars of Islam are also part of this knowledge, of this Islamic knowledge. Allah has honored and extolled the people who possess this knowledge, and He has raised their status high. He made them bear witness to His oneness with sincere devotion. He made them bear witness to His oneness and uniqueness with sincere devotion. The verse is the following. قال الله تعالى شهد الله أنه لا إله إلا هو والملائكة وأولو العلم قائما بالقسط لا إله إلا هو العزيز الحكيم. Allah bears witness that none has the right to be worshipped but He, and the angels and those having knowledge also bear witness to this. He is always maintaining His creation in justice. None has the right to be worshipped but He, the Almighty and the All-Wise. This is in Surah Al-Imran, chapter 3, verse 18. The people of knowledge bear witness to His oneness and uniqueness with the angels, along with the angels. The angels, alayhim as-salam, and the people of knowledge affirm Allah's oneness and uniqueness with sincere devotion towards Him, that He is the Lord of the worlds, the true deity worthy of worship, and that worship of anyone besides Him is futile and void. The affirmation in itself is sufficient proof to show their high station, due to the fact that Allah made them testify to His oneness and uniqueness and the right for His worship. He, the Most High, explained clearly that none is equal to Him or to them, to the people of knowledge. قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ إِنَّمَا يَتَذَكَّرُوا أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. Say, are those who know equal to those who know not? It is only men of understanding who will remember that is get a lesson from Allah's signs. This is in Surah Az-Zumar, which is Surah 39, verse 9. And He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, also said, أفمن يعلم أنما أنزل إليك من ربك الحق كمن هو أعمى إنما يتذكر أولو الألباب. Shall he then who knows that what has been revealed unto you, O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, from your Lord is the truth, be like him who is blind? But it is only the men of understanding that pay heed. Therefore, the people of knowledge and the ignorant are not alike. The person who has knowledge that what Allah has revealed is the truth, guidance, and a way to success, is not equal to the one who has been blinded to this way and to this knowledge. This is an immense difference between the knowledgeable and the ignorant. It is the difference between one who knows the truth and obtains insight through its light and acts accordingly to its guidance until he meets his Lord, achieving success with novelty, and one who is blind to this way and follows his desires, taking the path of shaitan, of the devil. The two groups are not similar. Allah has clearly stated that he raises the ranks of the people of knowledge due to their effect upon the people and the great benefit that people draw from them. Thus, some of the people of knowledge have said, what is more beneficial than their effect upon the people? What is more harmful than the people's effect upon them? Their beneficial effects upon the people is their directing the people towards righteousness and guiding them to the truth, making sure that the guidance reaches them, and these are great benefits that are derived from them. Allah thanks them, means that he rewards them and forgives them their sins. And the believers thank them for their meritorious actions. At the head of all the scholars are the prophets, alayhim as-salatu was-salam, for they are the guides and the callers to Islam. They are the most knowledgeable and learned of people with regards to Allah and his Sharia. The best people after the prophets are those who follow them, those who are well acquainted with that which the prophets came, meaning the wahi, the revelation, and those who call to Islam in the best way, with patience, and guide the people to it. The Most High Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يرفع الله الذين آمنوا منكم والذين أوتوا العلم درجات. Allah will exalt in degree those of you who believe and those who have been granted knowledge. وتلك حجتنا آتيناها إبراهيم على قومه نرفع درجات من نشاء. And that was our proof which we gave Ibrahim against his people. We raise Ibrahim, meaning Abraham, against his people. We raise whom we will in degrees. This is in Surah Al-An'am, chapter 6, verse 83. Allah the Most High explained that the people of knowledge fear him as he ought to be feared, although this fear, generally speaking, is present within the believers and others. But the true and complete fear of Allah is present only among the scholars, at the head of them being the prophets, alayhim as-salam. قال الله تعالى إنما يخشى الله من عباده العلماء. It is only those who have knowledge among his slaves that fear Allah. That is complete and perfect fear. The scholars have knowledge of Allah, his names, his attributes, and his sharia, which he dispatched the prophets with. Hence, when some people who took the knowledge to which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was guiding to be insufficient, and they said, we are not like you, O Messenger of Allah. Allah has forgiven your past and future sins. What was the response of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He said, by Allah, indeed I am the one who fears Allah the most amongst you and the most pious of you. And this hadith is reported by Al-Bukhari. The scholars are the most fearful of Allah among mankind. Why? Due to their knowledge of Allah, of his deen, of his religion, his names and his attributes. They are the most eager among men for the truth, depending on the extent of their knowledge of Allah. Further, above them and the most perfect are the prophets, as they fear Allah the most. The most perfect of them with regard to knowledge, fear and piety is our messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are many hadiths showing the virtues and merits of knowledge. From them is the Prophet's saying, "Whosoever pursues a path to seek knowledge, therein Allah will thereby make easy for him a path to paradise." This hadith is reported by Muslim. So this shows us the great excellence of the students of knowledge. For whoever corrects his intention in seeking knowledge and desires only Allah's face, he is on a road to salvation from fire and happiness in paradise. Knowledge should be sought for the right reasons and for its implementation, meaning acting according to the knowledge, not for the sake of ostentation, which is riyah, showing off, fame, or for the sake of any other gain from the ephemeral gains of this world. Rather, he learns it to be acquainted with his deen, with his religion, to have insight into what Allah has made incumbent upon him, to strive to take the people out of darkness and into the light. So he seeks knowledge and acts upon it and teaches others about the good that a Muslim is ordered to do. These are the objectives of seeking knowledge. Every path that he takes in search of knowledge is a way to paradise. This is true for every path, literal or otherwise. His journey from one country to another, going from one circle of knowledge to another, and from one mosque to another for the sole intention of seeking knowledge, these are from the ways of acquiring knowledge. Likewise, memorizing and studying Islamic books of knowledge, perusal and writing are also from the ways of seeking knowledge. A proper student is concerned with all these paths that lead to knowledge. He seeks it, desiring the face of his Lord Allah, the Mighty and the Majestic. He wants to seek Allah's pleasure and a home in paradise. He wants to understand and reflect upon his deen. He wants to know what Allah has made incumbent upon him and what he has prohibited him from. Then act accordingly. He wants to know his Lord with insight and cognizance. He wants to rescue people from the fire of hell. He wants to be amongst the guided callers striving for the truth. And he wants to guide people to Allah through knowledge. So wherever he turns, he is in great excellence. Whenever he turns, he is in great excellence with these correct intentions. Even his sleep is regarded as worship and is from the paths of paradise or to paradise. If he sleeps, in order to strengthen himself to seek knowledge, or to commit a book of knowledge to memory, then his sleep is regarded as worship, contrary to the one who has an evil intention, for he is in great danger. And we all know that actions are but by intentions, as the Prophet ﷺ said. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. It is related in a hadith that the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "If anyone acquires knowledge of things by which Allah's good pleasure is sought, but instead he acquires it only to get worldly advantage, he will not smell the fragrance of paradise on the day of reckoning." And this is reported by Abu Dawood in his Sunan, with a sound chain of narration as the Shaykh bin Baz rahimahullah checked it. This is a great admonition for the person who has an evil intention. It is reported that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Whoever acquires knowledge in order to compete with the scholars, or to dispute with the ignorant, or to attract the attention of people, then the fire. We seek refuge in Allah from this. Knowledge is acquired by studying. The Prophet ﷺ said, knowledge is acquired by studying. And this hadith is declared authentic by Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah. Knowledge is acquired by studying, then implementing it for Allah's pleasure, because Allah has ordered it and made it a means by which the truth is manifested. The first of the people who will be thrown into the fire will be from amongst those who acquired knowledge and recited the Quran for others besides Allah, hoping that it might be said he is a scholar, or it might be said he is a reciter. There is no power nor might except with Allah. O slave of Allah, O student of knowledge, it is upon you to be sincere in your worship, intending it solely for Allah. You must be serious and keen in seeking knowledge with perseverance. Then act upon that which the knowledge necessitates, since what is required is implementation, and not that you become a scholar or achieve a high class degree. Indeed, the main purpose of seeking knowledge is that you act accordingly. And this is a matter we often miss. And that's why we see the Shaykh rahimahullah emphasizing it so much. Indeed, the main purpose of seeking knowledge is that you act accordingly, guiding people towards good, consequently becoming the successor to the prophets in calling people to the truth. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he whom Allah intends to show goodness, he gives him the understanding of the deen. He whom Allah intends to show goodness, he gives him the understanding of the deen. And this is reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. This shows the virtues and benefits of knowledge, which are from the signs of goodness, happiness, and success. That if Allah wants to show goodness to His slave, He gives him the understanding of the deen, so that he can distinguish truth from falsehood and guidance from deviation, in order to recognize his Lord by his names, attributes, and great rights, so that he knows the recompense of the friends of the awliya of Allah and his enemies. The things become clear to him. The reward of the friends, the awliya of Allah, is paradise, near to their Lord, looking at his face. The believers will see Allah in the hereafter. This is the correct belief. Allah the Most High says, وَجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرَةٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ. Some faces that they will be radiant, looking at their Lord. This is in Surah Al-Qiyamah, chapter 75, verse 22 and 23. And also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, certainly you will see your Lord as you see the moon, and you will have no trouble in seeing. And this hadith is reported in Al-Bukhari. So the reward of the friends of Allah is paradise. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from them, near to their Lord, looking at His face. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from them in a place of esteem. The destination of the enemies of Allah is in a place of torture, punishment, humiliation, screened from seeing Allah. And this is asserted in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, in Surah Al-Mutaffifin 83 verse 15, كَلَّا إِنَّهُمْ عَنْ رَبِّهِمْ يَوْمَ إِذٍ لَمَحْجُوبُونَ. Nay, surely they, the evildoers, will be veiled from seeing their Lord that day. Thus we come to know the excellence of knowledge, that it is the best and most noble thing for anyone who seeks it with the correct intention, because by it, by the knowledge, he comes to know the best and greatest obligation upon man, which is worshipping Allah in His oneness, uniqueness, tawheed, with sincere devotion. This knowledge makes him aware of what Allah has made incumbent upon His slaves, which is a great obligation. There is no happiness nor salvation for a slave of Allah except through him, through Allah. Then through the knowledge of these obligations, holding fast to them and being upright. The scholars who disseminated the knowledge are the chosen people and the best of people on the face of this earth. At the head of them are the prophets and the messengers. They are the prime example to be followed, the foundation of da'wah, the call to Allah, knowledge and excellence. After them are the people of knowledge at different levels. The person who is most knowledgeable with regards to Allah, His names, His attributes, and most perfect in action and in da'wah, is the closest of people to the prophets with respect to their status and position in paradise. The people of knowledge are the leaders of this earth. They are its lights and lamps. They have been preferred above everyone else. They direct the people to the way of happiness. They guide them to the means of salvation. They lead to that which pleases Allah, the majestic and sublime, and to His mercy, and to keep them far from that which evokes His anger and punishment. The scholars are the hires of the prophets, and this is an authentic report, the authentic hadith reported by Ahmad, Abu Dawood, and Ibn Majah. They are the imams of the people after the prophets, the leaders of the people after the prophets. They guide and direct the people to Allah and to teach them His religion, His deen. And they have noble manners and praiseworthy attributes. They are the scholars of the truth, scholars of guidance, and successors to the prophets. They fear Allah much and are constantly checking their actions and pay great importance to what He orders and forbids. They are the scholars of the truth, scholars of guidance, and successors to the prophets. They fear Allah much and are constantly checking their actions and pay great importance to what He orders and forbids. These are their great characteristics, because they have trod the path of the prophets, followed their way in calling to Allah upon knowledge, in warning the people from the ways that cause His anger, in striving towards the good sayings or actions that they have knowledge of. After the prophets, they are the example and model to be imitated in their great characteristics, praiseworthy attributes, and excellent deeds. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. They teach others and act accordingly and guide their students to the most noble manners and to the correct path. As previously mentioned, knowledge is, Allah said, and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, which is called ilmu shara, meaning it is the knowledge of the book of Allah and the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and all that assists in understanding it, or in its understanding. It is incumbent upon the people of knowledge that they adhere to this great principle, call the people to it, and direct the students to it, making sure that the objective is always Allah said and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, acting accordingly, directing and guiding the people to it. Division and disputes are not permissible. nor to invite people to join one group or another, nor to take the opinions of this person or the sayings of another. Rather, it is mandatory that the call is one. The call to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger, not to the madhab, meaning not to the school of thought of this person or the call of the other, nor to this person's group or the opinion of another. It is incumbent upon Muslims that their way and their goals are one, and that is adherence to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the meaning of one. As for what yields from the differences amongst the people of knowledge in the four schools of thought and others, then it is compulsory that you take from them that which is closest to the truth. It is compulsory that you take from them that which is closer to the truth. That is the saying which is closest to what Allah has said in the Quran and His Messenger in the Hadith, or to that which the principles of the Sharia necessitate. This is the way of the scholars, as it was the way of the companions, who are the scholars after the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They are the most knowledgeable of people with regards to Allah, and they were the best of people and most perfect in knowledge and manners. They also differed in some issues, but still their call was one and their way was one, calling to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Likewise, those who came after them, like the Tabi'een, the successors to the companions, and Atba'u Tabi'een, the successors to the successors of the companions, such as Imam Malik, Abu Hanifa, Al-Shafi'i, Ahmad, and other scholars of guidance, such as Al-Awza'i, Al-Thawri, Ibn Uyayna, Ishaq ibn Rahawayh, and their equivalent from the people of knowledge and Iman. Who are these people? Who are these people whom the Shaykh mentioned? Let us look at them. Imam Abu Hanifa, his name is An-Nu'man ibn Thabit At-Taymi. He was the faqih of Iraq, born in the year 80 after Hijrah. Yazid said concerning him, "I have not seen anyone more fearful of Allah and more intelligent than Abu Hanifa." He died in the year 150 after Hijrah. Imam Malik bin Anas, Abu Abdullah. He was born in the year 93 after Hijrah, after the migration of the Prophet ﷺ to Medina. He was the Imam of Medina. He said, "I didn't start to pronounce legal judgments," meaning fatwa, "until 70 scholars said that I was suitable for that." He died in the year 179 after Hijrah. Imam al-Shafi'i, Muhammad bin Idris. He was born in the year 150 after Hijrah. One of his wise sayings is, quote, "If a hadith is found to be authentic, then throw my saying against the wall." He died in the year 204 after Hijrah. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. Imam Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn Hanbal. He was born in the year 164 after Hijrah. He is known as the Imam of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Abu Zur'a says that he memorized 1,000,000 hadith. He died in the year 241 after Hijrah. Imam al-Awza'i, Abu Amr Abdul Rahman al-Dimishqi, the Imam of Ash-Sham, Greater Syria. He was born in the year 88 after Hijrah. Abu Mishi said about him, "Al-Awza'i used to spend the night awake in prayer, reciting the Quran and weeping." End of quote. Imam الثوري سفيان الثوري. He was born in the year 97 after Hijrah. يحيى بن معين or يحيى بن يمان says, quote, I heard Sufyan say, the scholar is the doctor of the deen, is the doctor of the religion, and the dirham, meaning the money, it's a form of currency, is its sickness. So if the doctor infects himself with the sickness, then will he cure others? He died in the year 161 after Hijrah. Imam Sufyan ibn Uyayna ibn Maymun, Abu Muhammad al-Hilali, the Muhaddith, the scholar of Hadith of Mecca. He was born in the year 107 after Hijrah. Ibn Uyayna said, quote, if knowledge does not benefit you, it will harm you. If knowledge does not benefit you, it will harm you. He died in the year 198 after Hijrah. Imam Ishaq ibn Ibrahim ibn Rahway, Abu Yaqub, Imam of Naysabur and the East. He was born in the year 161 after Hijrah. Imam Ahmed said about him, quote, I don't know anyone equal to Ishaq in Iraq. End of quote. He died in the year 238 after Hijrah. These are the scholars from the Tabi'een, from the successors to the companions, and from their successors. Their da'wah, their call was one, calling to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They forbade their students from taqleed meaning blind following, saying, take from where we took, meaning the Quran and the Sunnah. Concerning taqleed, Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said in his famous poem which is called An-Nuniyya, he said, knowledge is the realization of the guidance with its proofs, and the blind following are not equal. Imam Ibn al-Jawzi rahimahullah says in Talbis Iblis, in his book Talbis Iblis, The Deception of the Devil, he said, know that verily the blind follower does not have any trust in what he follows. Taqleed, blind following, suspends the use of the intellect, whereas the intellect is created for thinking and reasoning. It is a stupidity. It is a stupidity. When a man is given light to show him the way, he extinguishes it and walks in darkness. Whoever is ignorant of the truth, then it is compulsory upon him to ask the people of knowledge. Listen to this. Whoever is ignorant of the truth, then it is compulsory upon him to ask the people of knowledge who are recognized with knowledge. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. So ask the people of knowledge if you don't know. So it is compulsory upon him to ask the people of knowledge. Who are the people of knowledge? Who are recognized with knowledge, meaning they have true knowledge with them. Merit, correct aqeedah. These are the qualities of the scholars. Correct aqeedah, correct belief, and biography of the Prophet ﷺ. He should respect the scholars, acknowledge their superiority, and supplicate for them in abundance for success and great reward. They have preceded him in great blessing. They taught, guided, and clarified the way. The companions of the Prophet ﷺ and those who followed them from the people of the correct knowledge and belief have the favor of knowledge and da'wah. Not only that, they have the favor of knowledge and, in addition to that, calling to Allah, which is da'wah. He should realize their status and merit and overlook their mistakes. He should realize their status and merit and overlook their mistakes, taking them as an example in seeking knowledge and in calling to Allah, giving precedence and priority to the sayings of Allah and His Messenger in spite of others, being patient upon it and running towards righteous actions. He follows them in all these aspects and overlooks their mistakes. However, clinging stubbornly and fanatically to one of them is not permissible. Nor to say, quote, his saying is absolutely correct, end of quote. This is not to be said concerning any one of them. Rather, one should say, everyone at times errs and at times is correct. What is correct is that which is in consonance with the saying of Allah and His Messenger and consensus of the people of knowledge. If the scholars differ, then it is compulsory to return to Allah and His Messenger. Listen to this. If the scholars differ, then it is compulsory to return to Allah and His Messenger. The evidence for this is in the saying of Allah, فَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ. If you differ in anything amongst yourselves, refer it to Allah and the Messenger, صلى الله عليه وسلم. This is in Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 59. Then Allah says also, وَمَا اخْتَلَفْتُمْ فِيهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَحُكْمُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. In Surah Ash-Shura 42:10, and in whatsoever you differ, the decision thereof is with Allah. That is what the scholars have said in the past and the present. It is not permissible to cling fanatically to the opinion of Zayd and Amr, such and such. Likewise, it is forbidden to stubbornly attach yourself to one group or party. These are all from the recent mistakes which many people have fallen into. It is essential that the goal of Muslims is one, and that is to follow the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in all instances, in hardship and in comfort, in difficulty and in ease, when traveling and when resident, in every condition. When the people of knowledge differ, then one should look at their saying and support that which is in agreement with the evidence without prejudice against anyone. These are golden rules for the seekers of knowledge. Let's contemplate them. When the people of knowledge differ, then one should look at their saying and support that which is in agreement with the evidence without prejudice against anyone. As for the common folk, this is another important benefit. As for the common folk, then they should ask the people of knowledge and take from them freely whoever is closest to the truth and upright. They should ask the people of knowledge about Allah's deen, His religion. Then he, the scholar, should teach them and guide them to the truth according to the Quran, the Sunnah, and the consensus of the scholars. A scholar now, these are so important matters, so delicate, for the people to really give them good pondering. He took them now case by case. The first case is, let's review them really quickly, that there can be no fanatical clinging to the opinion of anyone. And it is forbidden to to stubbornly attach yourself to one group or party. And that it is essential that the goal of the Muslim to be one, to follow the Book of Allah, the Sunnah of His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in all of his conditions, in hardship and in comfort, in difficulty and in ease, when traveling and when resident, in every condition, and when the people of knowledge differ, then one should look at their saying and support that which is in agreement with the evidence without prejudice against anyone. Now, as for the common folk, the common Muslim, then they should ask the people of knowledge and take from them freely whoever is closest to the truth and upright. These are the two conditions. He can take freely from him the one who is closest to the truth and upright from the scholars. And therefore the common Muslim then will not be held accountable. They should ask them, meaning the common Muslim, should ask the people of knowledge about Allah's deen. Then the scholar should teach them and guide them to the truth according to the Quran, the Sunnah, and the consensus of the scholars. Okay. Walaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. A scholar is recognized by his perseverance. Now to the qualities of the scholars, his characteristics. A scholar is recognized by his perseverance, his taqwa, piety. And we discussed piety earlier, but here is also the good definition of it by Talq ibn Habib. He was asked about the meaning of taqwa. He said, taqwa is acting in obedience to Allah, hoping for His mercy upon light from Him. And taqwa is also leaving acts of disobedience to Allah out of fear of Him upon light from Him. So the scholar is recognized by his perseverance, his taqwa, his piety, and his fear of Allah, striving to what Allah has made obligatory, and keeping well away from what Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have forbidden. These are the characteristics of a scholar. Whether he is a teacher, a judge, a da'iyah, a caller to Allah, or holds any other occupation, he is obliged to be an example and a model in righteousness. He acts upon his knowledge, has taqwa of Allah wherever he may be, and he guides the people to good. He is a good example for his students, members of his family, neighbors, and others who know him. They take him, his sayings, and his actions, which are in accordance with the deen of Allah, as an example. The student of knowledge should take great care about being lazy about what Allah has made obligatory and from falling into that which He has forbidden. Because for others will follow him in it. Likewise, he should not be neglectful of the sunnah and the makruhat. The makruhat are plural of makruh, those actions which are disliked. One is rewarded for leaving such an action, but is not punished for carrying it out. This is the meaning of makruh. So likewise, he should not be neglectful of the sunnah and the makruhat. If he becomes lazy, others will also become lazy. It is important that he takes care in reviving the sunnah, even though a particular act may not be compulsory. In order what? In order to encourage the people to follow it and to be an example for them. He, the student of knowledge, must keep away from the makruhat, from the disliked matters and doubtful matters. And here it's worth mentioning. Why? Because so that the people don't imitate him in these things. Now concerning the doubtful matters, it is narrated that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, that which is lawful is clear, and that which is unlawful is clear, and between the two of them are doubtful matters about which not many people know. Thus he who avoids doubtful matters clears himself in regard to his religion and his honor. But he who falls into doubtful matters falls into that which is unlawful. Like the shepherd who pastures around a sanctuary, all but grazing therein. Truly every king has a sanctuary, and truly Allah's sanctuary is his prohibitions. Truly in the body there is a morsel of a flesh which, if it is sound, all the body is sound, and which, if it is diseased, all of it is diseased, and truly it is the heart. This is reported by Bukhari and Muslim. The student of knowledge has a great significance, and the people of knowledge are the select amongst the creation. The student of knowledge has a great significance, and the people of knowledge are the select amongst the creation. Upon them are obligations and responsibilities over and above everyone else. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, everyone is a shepherd and is responsible for his flock. It is reported by Bukhari in his Sahih. The people of knowledge are shepherds and guides. They should be concerned about society as it is their flock. So it is upon them to carry out this responsibility whilst fearing Allah. They guide them to the ways of salvation and prevent them from the ways of destruction. Implant between them love for Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, being firmly established upon his deen, yearning for Allah's paradise and his mercy, being cautious of the fire, for it is an evil abode. Warning yourself and others about the fire of hell is compulsory. This obligation, first and foremost, falls upon the scholars and the students of knowledge. They, the scholars and the students of knowledge, strive to please Allah, refrain from disobeying him, and call upon him. They do not exceed the boundaries, but take the middle way. They do not exceed the boundaries, but they take the middle way. They abstain from those things which Allah has forbidden and dislikes, so that the Muslims can take from them their example and can be influenced by them wherever they are. Such being their state and manner always. I ask Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, by His perfect names and attributes, to make you and I consistent to that which pleases Him, to purify our hearts and actions, to make us rightly guided, righteous, and from among the reformers. I ask Him to make His deen victorious, and to make His word supreme. I ask Him to make the leaders of the Muslims do actions that will please Him. I ask that He make the leaders be good towards the slaves of Allah and towards the countries over which they have been granted authority. I ask Him to correct their advisors, to bless and favor them to rule by Allah's law amongst the people, discarding anything which contradicts it. As for the other sciences, they have their own significance and importance, like mining, agriculture, farming and other beneficial industries. Some may be important to learn depending upon the requirements of the Muslims, making it fardu kifaya, collective obligation. The leader of the Muslims should order and help the Muslims to learn what they are in need of their welfare, for their welfare, and to prepare them against their enemies, the kuffar. The actions of the servant of Allah will be regarded as worship whenever his intention is correct with sincerity to him. If he does an action without an intention, then it is from the mubahat. Mubahat, single, mubah, which means permissible actions. actions for which neither reward nor punishment is to be expected, but which are permissible. I mean the different kinds of permissible industries like mining, agriculture, farming and others. These fall under the mubahat. If he does this action without any intention, then this is from the mubah, meaning permissible. All of these things are required along with correct intentions, which makes it worship. Along with correct intentions, which makes it worship. Leaving the intention makes it mubah, permissible. Sometimes it may be regarded as fardu kifaya, meaning a collective obligation, if necessity dictates it. It is compulsory on the leader of the Muslims to appoint the necessary people to learn this knowledge. Its importance depends upon the situation, and which differs according to the intention and necessity. As far as knowledge of the Sharia is concerned, it is incumbent, since Allah has created jinn and men so that they may worship and fear Him. قال الله عز وجل وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون. I have not created jinn and mankind except to worship me. And this is not permissible except through Islamic knowledge, knowledge of the book and the sunnah, as previously mentioned. It is a duty of the student of knowledge to understand and study the deen, to learn and reflect upon what Allah has permitted, to know the authentic Salafi Aqeedah. The Salafi Aqeedah refers to the creed that was preached by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and as is understood by the companions, the successors, and their students. And this is in accordance with the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said, "The best generation is my generation, then those who follow them, then those who follow them." An excellent reference concerning this creed is the explanation of the creed book, which we went over during the summer, by Imam al-Bukhari, who died, by Imam al-Barbahari, who died in the year 329. So the Shaykh rahimahullah, he said here, it is a duty of the student of knowledge to understand and study the deen, to learn and reflect upon what Allah has prescribed, to know the authentic Salafi Aqeedah, Salafi Creed, which the Prophet ﷺ was upon, his companions and their followers in righteousness, which is belief in Allah, His messengers, His names and attributes, believing in them in a manner which is fitting to Allah, without tahreef, without distortion, without ta'til, without denial, without takyif, without qualification, saying the manner is as such and the how is as such, or without, or likening, or tamthil, without increase or decrease. This was the approach and the way of the people of knowledge, as it was the approach of the messengers, their companions, and their successors in righteousness. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give the students of knowledge success. We ask Him to help and guide them to everything that He is pleased with. And we ask Him to make them a means to guide His slaves and make their conditions better. Indeed, He is the Majestic, the Most High, who has power over all things. May the prayer and peace be upon the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, upon his family, his companions, and those who followed them in righteousness. Then comes an important summary concerning the excellence of the scholars. And this is taken from Imam Ibn al-Qayyim's Al-Jawziyyah, a treaty or book which is called Miftah Hudar al-Sa'adah, the key to the abode of happiness. He said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is concerning the excellence of the scholars. Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, says in the Noble Quran, شَهِدَ اللَّهُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ وَأُولُو الْعِلْمِ قَائِمًا بِالْقِسْطِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Allah bears witness that none has the right to be worshipped but He, and the angels, and those having knowledge, also bear witness to this. He is always maintaining His creation in justice. None has the right to be worshipped but He, the Almighty, the All-Wise. This is in Surah Al-Imran, chapter 3, verse 18. This verse shows the superiority of knowledge, of ilm, and its people. The following points can be inferred from this verse. First point of benefit. Allah chose the people of knowledge to bear witness to His oneness and uniqueness, Tawheed, over and above the rest of His creation. Secondly, Allah honored the people of knowledge by mentioning their testimony along with His testimony in this verse. He raised high the status of the scholars by associating their testimony with the testimony of the angels. Fourthly, this verse bears witness to the superiority of those who possess knowledge. Allah does not make any of His creation bear witness except the upright amongst them. There is a well-known narration from the Prophet ﷺ who said, "The upright in every generation will carry this knowledge, rejecting the distortions of the extremists, the false claims of the liars, and the false interpretations of the ignorant." And this is declared Hassan by Shaykh Salim al-Hilali. May Allah preserve him. 5. Allah, the one free from all defects, Himself bears witness to His oneness and uniqueness, and He is the greatest of witnesses. Then He chose from His creation the angels and the scholars. This is sufficient to show their excellence. 6. Allah made the scholars bear witness with the greatest and the most excellent testimony, and that is La ilaha illallah. None has the right to be worshipped but He, Allah. The one free of all defects and the most high does not bear witness except to matters of a great importance, and only the greatest from Allah's creation bear witness to this. 7. Allah made the testimony of the people of knowledge a proof against the rejectors. Thus they are its proofs and its signs, indicating His oneness and uniqueness, Tawheed. 8. Allah, the Most High, used a single verb, which is shahida. Allah used a single verb in the statement, in the verse, shahida, to refer to His testimony and the testimony of the angels and the scholars. He did not use an additional verb for their testimony. Listen to this great benefit. He used a single verb to refer to His testimony and the testimony of the angels and the scholars. He did not use an additional verb for their testimony. Thus He connected their testimony to His. This shows the strong link between their testimony and Allah's testimony, as if He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself, bore witness to His oneness and uniqueness upon their tongues and made them utter their testimony, or this testimony. 9. Allah, the one free of all imperfection and all defects, made the scholars fulfill His right. What is His right? Tawheed. None has the right to be worshipped but Him. Through this testimony. And if they fulfill it, then they have fulfilled and established this right of Allah upon them. Then it is obligatory upon mankind to accept this testimony, which is the means to reach happiness in this life and in their final return to Allah. Whoever takes this guidance from the scholars and accepts this truth because of their testimony, then for the scholars there is a reward equal to them, and none knows the value of this reward but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This brings the end of this treatise, which is concerning the subject of knowledge. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestow His mercy upon the Shaykh rahimahullah, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make of this a benefit for all of us. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.